Hi everyone and welcome. My name is Richard Crawford, host of the Supply and Demand Show, where we delve into the dynamic world of the global supply chain and we navigate through the complexities, disruptions and innovations that shape this vital network of interconnected businesses. From sourcing raw materials to delivering finished products, we'll uncover the challenges that arise at each stage and explore the strategies for optimizing efficiency and sustainability. And each week, we'll chat with our guest and highlight a specific supply chain event. And of course, I'm joined each episode by my co-host and resident supply chain expert, Kareem Kafuri, founder and CEO of the Atlas Network. Kareem, how are you, buddy?
Good, Richard. How you doing? I mean, you know, when you do that, it reminds me of the 1980s. And, you know, let's get ready to rumble, you know, like
my whole point.
We're about to get into WrestleMania right here. I'm going to have to, you know, pull out some Jimmy the Superfly Snuka moves. If anybody remembers 1980s wrestling.
Kareem, I would pay money to have you in a wrestling leotard right now. I thought we should do that.
Get on the top rope and do a flying suplex.
We should do it on the next rope. On the next show. So, dude, let's get going, man, because today's an exciting show. There's lots of things to discuss. There's lots of great news that's coming out. So kind of let's get started. We'll introduce our guests today. Guests, plural, because we actually have two guests today. And we're very excited that they'll be joining us from somewhere very, very special. In fact, some would suggest it's the most magical place in the world. So please welcome Chris Kucharski, Chief Product and Technology Officer, and Eddie Masika, Vice President of Products and Solutions at OneRail. Guys, a very big and warm welcome to the show.
Thanks, Richard. Appreciate you having us.
You guys do live close to Disney World, don't you?
Yeah, I'm right around the corner. Our office is about 50 minutes away. We're headquartered out of Orlando, Florida as well. So it's a good place to be.
So yeah, do you get the employees together every night for the big fireworks show?
No, not quite. We try to wrap up a little bit earlier before the fireworks are going off at like 10, 11 o'clock at night.
How cool is it you guys are close to Disney World? I actually had the opportunity last year to go down there. I was quite impressed by it. Kareem, have you ever been to Disney World?
Yes, I have. I got two kids, and if you got kids and you go to Disney World, it's just not as fun. You know, when my wife and I first, you know, got married, we went to Disney World, and it's really fun to go as an adult, right? You go to Epcot, you go to those different villages, and you have, let's have Japanese food today. Let's go to the German area, and you do this kind of fun stuff. But my God, you go with kids, you wait in a line for like a 1,000 years. It's really just such a mess. No matter what they do, they try to put the bans on you and all this kind of thing to give you access. But it's you know, never so seamless. I will say one thing though. I did just come back from China. I had been back. I hadn't seen my team in a couple of years due to the large scale pandemic we had in the world. And one of the first things we did as a team building is we went to Shanghai Disney, which was unbelievably cool. If you've ever, you know, been to any other Disney properties or things outside of the United States, you really start to see, you know, these differences, these cultural cross-border type of differences and similarities. And it was really, really fun being at Shanghai Disney. It was kind of cool.
Can you imagine what the supply chain logistics look like for Disney? Imagine one person being in charge of that. It would be quite crazy. Well, enough about Disney, guys. Let's talk about you guys. And I know you had a major press release this week. So why don't you give us a little bit of the top line and tell the audience what's going on with you guys?
Yeah, if you don't mind, Eddie, I'll jump in first. For us, and if you look at the survey and the ebook that we put out there, it's really about product shrinkage for companies, right? So the major problem for manufacturers, retailers, all of these companies do a really good job of tracking inventory within their four walls. As soon as it leaves for transport, those types of things, you get varying degrees of success. And in most cases, you really don't. So that's something that we really wanted to understand, the better figure out how we can help solve that. Because at the end of the day, that's what we want to do, is we want to help our partners, which are usually retailers and shippers, be able to get the goods to their customers on time and in full. So if you have anything else to add, Eddie.
No, you nailed it, man.
Yeah.
Eddie just wants to have a coffee and go to Disney World.
So, Eddie loves coffee.
Eddie loves coffee.
I'm real curious, and I watch a lot of movies, so I'm going to kind of bring this up. So when you see in movies where trucks coming up from Mexico or in Latin America somewhere, they get hijacked, does that actually happen? Has that ever happened to you guys from a client's point of view?
So we have more of a courier network, although we do offer into the multimodal space, so up to parcels and carriers of various rates. So we've never had that happen to us. But funny you asked, we had a customer, and very early on, they had an issue with the GPS live tracking that we provide and providing that customer experience back. And that was their number one problem was, our trucks are going to get hijacked. And we were like, wait, that's a thing. So we were thinking the same thing. We're like, what do you mean they're going to get hijacked? So apparently people are thinking about it. It's in the back of their minds, but we've never seen it.
Yeah.
What's one of the most difficult situations you've had? I'm just curious. Is there anything that comes to mind?
Man, the company or the person that figures out accurately geocoding addresses. We run a redundant stack of different services to validate and validate and validate, and there's still a margin of error that takes place. And yeah. So when you're sending it out, when there's this constant handoff to our logistics partners that we're dispatching to, and there's still a driver unable to find where they need to go. We just see those every single day, and we have a team of people in Orlando that helps exceptions assist. So they'll take the phone calls, help direct the drivers where they need to go. But for me, that's probably the biggest problem that I've noticed.
You know, I was fascinated when we spoke with Bill Catania at Manifest with the vastness of your network. One mm-hmm. rail, I want to say he said it was like millions. If I'm
correct. Yeah. We're right about 12 million right now.
I was about to say 12, but I didn't remember if I, sometimes I don't remember what I had for breakfast, but I'm good with numbers. I had 12 in my mind. I was going to say, I think it's 12 million, but can you kind of like for the audience out here, explain a little bit about what that means? You know, when you say you've got a network of like 12 million, what does that really entail and how do you kind of keep that all organized? Because most organizations are dealing with, a couple hundred, a couple thousand, entities. How do you work with 12 million? Can you kind of talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, I'll start, and Eddie, feel free to jump in any color commentary. I mean, at the end of the day, we consolidate networks, right? So that's everything from your DoorDashers to your Uber drivers, down to Joe's logistics provider. And I think through that course of consolidation, that's where we get everything from the sedans all the way up to big, box trucks, big vans, all those types of things. And the total aggregation of that gets us up to that 12 million number.
Wow.
Yes. So we don't actually have to manage those as ICs or anything down that path, right? Yeah. It's that pure network play. And to add on to that, we're handling rate cards, compliance, all of those other things that typically if a shipper wanted to go out and do that same thing and actually have national coverage, they're probably having to either push it down into their regional areas, manage it at a corporate level, and that's a lot of heads that they're going to have to throw at it. So it's kind of the easy button of just, hey, OneRail, you have this network, you have established rate cards,
right.
You have national coverage. It really makes it easy to scale up elastic capacity for all size assets.
Yeah, I mean, I think that... you're making it sound probably a lot easier than it is. It's still millions of entities in one way or the other. It's amazing. I mean, again, these large scale network plays, as you put it, I think are fascinating in and of themselves, and the way to sort of like manage at that level and that scale and be able to still provide a level of service across so many different players is quite a feat. So, I just want to bring that up for a minute because I remember your network being quite vast.
Logistics of that, they're crazy. Within my own neighborhood, there are three houses that I know who don't have like a frontage presence. You have to actually drive up a driveway behind another house to get to them. And you know, drivers come by all the time and like, hey, where do you know where this address is? I'm like, yeah, you have to actually drive up somebody's driveway to get to right. it. So it's nuts. It's crazy. It's something I don't know how you can ever have full solution for that.
Yeah, that's the part, the geocoding part that Eddie was talking about. The addresses is difficult, right? And I don't know if you remember a couple months back, Domino's like, drop a pin anywhere on a map and we will get you a pizza there. Yeah. It's like, sounds amazing. Sounds like rainbows and unicorns.
Yeah.
Doesn't really work, right? Because it is a really hard problem to solve.
I will say real quick too, how do we manage it? So we have this, you know, this vast network we just talked about. So our core product is called OmniPoint. And that is just that kind of central platform for the shippers to send the deliveries into and for those logistics providers. So we manage, we put them in, we check service areas, all of these different rules that sees the platform's looking to see if they're available, right? Can they do a delivery? Can they do a shipment for us? It manages the rate cards and all of that. And through a very various levels of business decisions that get put into place of what we need it to do, various machine learning models that we have in place. And then additionally that exceptions assist team that we have, the people component, right? So honestly, the way that we make it work, yeah, we oversimplified it a little bit. Software and people, like that combination of it, I don't believe that you can truly just fully go 100% software, right? Like we have all these promises of AI out there and it's cool. But at the end of the day, I always joke, I have these smart light bulbs in my house and I'm like, you know what's easier than trying to open the app and turn the thing on? Just hit the light switch on the wall. And sometimes like that phone call to a driver of like, this is where you're at, you know, if we can get them 80% there and then close off that 20% with a phone call, then that's what it needs to do, you know?
Yeah.
I get into fights with my Google about the lights. I'm like,
right.
Like, Google, lights 100%. And they come on. I'm like, I said 100%. She's like, relax. I heard you.
Yeah. And one's like bright white and the other four are soft white. And it's like...
Exactly. All right, guys. So now it's time. Now it's time for the hard part of the show, which is to put you guys in the hot seat. And the hot seat is a segment of the show where we ask three questions and we want you to answer them as close to 5 minutes as you possibly can. Now, the reigning champion is still the reigning champion, and she gets a mention on the show every week because she is the reigning champion, is Katie Date from Manifest. And she managed to answer three questions in 4 minutes and 58 seconds. So she has not left much room for anybody to beat her. Now, what I'll do is, I think there's three questions and there's two of you, but I'll let both of you guys decide who wants to answer which question. I'll ask the first question, Kareem will ask the second question, and then I'll ask the third question. So you guys ready?
Right.
Sounds good.
As ready as you'll ever be, right?
That's right.
All right, guys, so the clock starts now. So guys, can you discuss the most surprising findings from your recent survey on inventory shrinkage?
I'll go. So I think for me, the most surprising finding was that the people that we interviewed, they said they had it covered, right? They're investing time into it. They're investing money into it. However, there's still a loss, a significant loss that's taking place, right? The biggest range that we found was anywhere from 100,000 to 5 million, right? Like that's a huge gap to say, we're good, we have solutions to take care of this. So that tells you that there's still one for improvement.
And that 100,000 to 5 million covers 80% of the respondents, right? So that range. So it's a huge problem.
Yeah. But for me, it's like, cool, you think you have it covered, but you actually, you know, you're still working on it. You still have room for improvement. Why wouldn't you invest time into it?
Yep.
Right. I got question number two. With OmniPoint providing real-time item level tracking within the supply chain, what are the immediate benefits that clients can expect in terms of operational efficiency and customer satisfaction?
Ooh, a good one.
It was like a word problem.
Would you like them to repeat the question?
I can repeat it. I'll go for it again. With OmniPoint providing real-time item level tracking within the supply chain, what are some of the immediate benefits that clients can expect in terms of operational efficiency and in terms of customer satisfaction? What are the benefits that customers can look for and efficiencies?
Chris said it earlier, on time in full is one of the biggest things, right? Where's my inventory that I can make a promise for better customer satisfaction down the line?
I mean, if you've ever gone to a retailer and say, hey, do you have this in stock? And they say, no, I don't have it. Okay, when are you going to get it? Well, we have some pallets come in, maybe tomorrow or the next day. Is it going to be on there? Well, I'm not quite sure, right? So if you can break that pallet down to totes, down to individual level SKUs, now you can start creating the customer experience. It's like, your product's going to be here Wednesday at 11 a.m. That's when you need to come back.
Yeah. And that's so, and that's even chain that together with the last mile and the middle mile, right? And now you really have a powerful thing. Even throw in the first mile if you want to go up that far. But that middle mile of that forward pushing down to like a retail location or something like that, and then even fulfilling from there, man, that's powerful stuff.
Very cool. All right, question three, and you have about half the time left, so you can take your time on this. So looking forward, how do you see the integration of technology like OmniPoint changing the landscape of logistics and supply chain management over the next 5 years? And if you need me to, I'll repeat the question.
I'll start going at it, Chris. So I mean, we're already seeing the change happen, right? And I think just kind of playing off of my last comment there, you know, OneRail we started thinking about logistics and how to improve that last mile space. And when you really start looking at how it operates, that's pretty hard. There's a lot of challenges there. We talked about the 12 million drivers and getting all of those dispatches out, right? So just like the sheer number of active deliveries that are in flight that are taking place that you have to manage versus something that's going from a warehouse to a warehouse, not to downplay that, right? But you're putting more items inside of a single trailer and making that happen. So we kind of tackled the hard stuff first. And when we've taken that approach, we've put the time in, we have the technology there, we have the people into it. Now we're really able to see how can we improve the rest of that customer experience, right? And so the omnichannel process is, omnichannel and OmniPoint are really why the name's there. We're trying to enable that better fulfillment from all locations. Send, you know, ship something directly to a consumer from a warehouse. Why does it need to go all the way down the chain? So we're really looking for different ways to improve it. And we have a pretty healthy roadmap going forward. Chris, I don't know if you want to add anything else.
Yeah, and in the spirit of Gartner, right? That's what we're all here for this week, is the Gartner conference. We really feel like we're kind of that one of one in that top right quadrant. So when you think about capacity versus omnichannel or single shipping methods, we really are in the top right. So when we go through and look at the things that we do and what we think, like, we're a whole ecosystem. We're an operating systems of logistics, which is something we really pride ourselves on. So everything from visibility to optimization, demand planning, risk and finance compliance, you know, managing external fleets, you can manage your own internal fleets, customer experience. So we do have that manual component of it, and delivery support. I think that's what makes us a really, really powerful company. So,
all right, that was impressive. You guys actually, I guess if the game is getting close to 5 minutes over or under, Kareem, are we saying this is over or under? It's just close to 5 minutes.
It's as close to 5 minutes as possible, over or under. Yeah,
these guys have taken the lead.
Get out of here! Yeah,
it is 5 minutes, 1.44 seconds.
Oh my God!
Well done,
there
guys.
We go.
You've knocked Katie off the top. I never thought I'd see
that. Let's go.
That is great. It's only been like what, 20 or 30 episodes?
Yeah.
That we had someone. Like, oh wow!
I'm really, really excited, actually. Like, really excited. Jump out of my seat. That's amazing. And there's two of them. So logistically, that's very difficult. It's not
maybe
just one person.
Maybe that's been the secret sauce we've been missing all along, that it's supposed to be two people answering three questions. One person answering two questions.
That's impressive, guys. So I'm going to celebrate. I don't know about you. But guys, you mentioned just a minute ago you were at Gartner this week. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to get out of attending that event.
I'll start. For me personally, it's really about just seeing what's out there. What are the trends? What are people thinking about? That's not necessarily today, but 3 or 4 years down the road, right? I mean, we see every industry, not just logistics, big shift in AI. Well, what's that really mean, right? It's kind of become an overloaded term at this point, but how do we really leverage AI to create that better experience? So for me, it's all about the innovation. What's the next 3 or 4 years look like? I internally, Eddie will tell you, the rest of my team will tell you, I'm super fascinated about drone deliveries. And I don't know why, but Walmart just started doing their test markets, I think like 2 weeks ago. A couple other retailers have been doing it. And so really understanding like what are those future kind of moonshot trends in delivery, those are the things I want to see out of the Gartner conference.
Yeah, you said drone deliveries, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I actually, and I believe I live in the state of Virginia, so I believe that we can do it here. And I want to order something that gets delivered by drone, not because I need it, because I just want to see it happen.
Yeah. You want to see that buzz kind of
I do. I just want to see it happen. But I've also got neighbors who have BB guns, and I know the first thing they're going to try and do.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, guys, is there anything at all you guys want to add before we kind of wrap it up here? It's been a pleasure talking to you. It's been very insightful and very exciting because you're now champions of the hot seat.
Yeah. Take that. That's a win.
Yeah. I'd say just check out the white paper that just came out on the shrink and inventory visibility problem that we just released. If you're curious, reach out. Even if it's not about shrinkage and inventory visibility and just final mile deliveries,
speaking of which, Eddie, how can people get a hold of you guys?
Yeah, so onerail.com is definitely the kind of central point there, but if you want to reach out to myself, LinkedIn is probably the easiest way. Eddie Masika is searchable there. Chris?
Yep, same for me. Just Chris Kacharski on LinkedIn. I respond to all messages pretty rapidly.
Well, and Kareem, remind people how they can get a hold of you.
Absolutely. Same as the gentleman here on LinkedIn. As a matter of fact, I'm sending you both LinkedIn requests as we're speaking. And also our main website, which is theatlasnetwork.com for any supply chain solutions. We've been doing this for a long time. So definitely happy to have you both on the show and learn more about OneRail. What a great organization, doing great things in the space and bringing a lot of efficiency, which is just wonderful.
Yep. I mean, I'm impressed you can actually multitask. That's pretty good. Talk on here and send LinkedIn. All right, guys. And of course, to the audience, don't forget to like and follow our pages at the Supply and Demand Show on LinkedIn and YouTube. And again, thank you for joining us today. And we will see you next time.